Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you did."
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. If you're just joining us, we were just having our memory of Charlie Daniels last segment, so we thought we'd give you a little something here.
That's a little bit.
Anyway, moving into this 9 o'clock hour, and can't thank you enough for letting us be a part of your weekend mornings. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to you folks. I got to say it right. And Brazelton.
And Brazelton. Yeah, you say that right now.
I did just say it right, didn't
I? Yeah.
Brazelton.
We were just up near there when we were up there for the golf tournament there at Chateau
Elan. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, anyway, good morning to you folks in Brazelton.
Wonderful, the folks at Chateau Elan. How y'all doing up there?
Yeah. I enjoyed Charlie Daniels. I'm sorry. I was just, again, thinking about it, and you talking about the concert. And
great show.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Something special. Again, we've had one special moment after another on this show this morning.
Really have.
Y'all need to go back and listen to They Got Next, too, again. A six-year-old A.J.O. Obata came on here. And this gentleman, when we bring him on here, I know what my first question is going to be.
Okay.
But I'll let you introduce him, but I know what my first question is.
Hold up. Well, just wait. Let's get him on here first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Of course, the last 3 days we've been chronicling the National Football League draft, and a number of young people from our area, I think we're up to about a dozen who played their high school ball here in Georgia, heard their names called. This young man played on the state championship team at Marietta High School, went on to have a fantastic career at Troy University, and was drafted yesterday by the Chargers out in L.A. Kamani Vidal, welcome. Kamani Vidal, welcome. See, I did.
Y'all should have heard the holler when I got it earlier. He was fussing at me, going, Greg, now get it right.
Get it right. Kamani Vidal, good morning and congratulations. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
And now we're going to ask you if you could turn your radio down behind you because we're hearing that bounce back just a little bit, but you got us now. So we're going to have a conversation. And there were a number of things I was thinking about asking you about because. Your head coach, his name is mentioned usually daily in my house. His name comes up regularly. I live with – my wife is from Michigan, and that's her team. But I'm not going to ask you about that. And I'm sure it was a wonderful conversation we had. But this is what we really want to know from you. We followed you at Marietta. Are you responsible for, at any time during your time at that high school for throwing some of that toilet paper up in the trees?
No, Whitlock.
Yeah. Come on.
Hey, I did.
And when was it, and what was the occasion?
It was my senior year, and all the seniors get together like the day before the first day of class. Yeah. And just get together and all pretty much go crazy.
Yeah.
There's a couple of rules behind it.
There are rules?
Oh, see, no, like, this is great. Little investigation here. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Like, you're not supposed to throw it on the school, technically.
Okay.
And then you're supposed to stay off certain trees that are, like, I guess, harder to get out of.
Yeah, if it gets wet.
I think there are some more, but I just can't remember them right now. But, you know, when toilet paper started getting thrown, all the rules kind of went out the window.
I was just about to say, I didn't see any trees that were isolated, and plus it was hanging out on Dallas Highway. I live not far from there, so I've driven by it over the years and seen it and just shook my head.
They may have done it yesterday after he got drafted.
That's a possibility.
Have you been over there to see on Whitlock, man? They may have it all done it on you. Kamani, talk about what it was like though, and getting the call from Coach Harbaugh yesterday. I saw some video. You had your whole family around you, right?
Yep, I did. It was great though. I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. I think like just going throughout that day though, it felt wrong. Just like, you know, because you're sitting there anticipating, almost just waiting for that call. Like you keep checking your phone, like my ringer still on, like, you know, just trying to make sure that, you know, you pick it up actually. And you know, I was moving around through that whole entire day. I just happened to be sitting on the couch when they called. So, you know, that's only, I was just blessed though.
Yeah. This is one of those seminal moments in a person's life when they get that call, and he's catapulted to the next level. Kamani Vidal, that's how you say his name, Sam.
Absolutely.
Joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. What I want to talk about for a second is your position. And you have probably heard over the years, we've talked about it on this show, how the running back position has not been as prominent as it has been in years past. And I think there's a resurgence, and people are learning ways to use that position, and the people who are showing a certain skill set, showing them more prominently in the offenses.
Mm-hmm.
And are you looking forward to seeing how Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers use you in a way that isn't the traditional running back way?
Yeah, I am. You know, it's a run heavy offense. There's not many in the NFL. I'd probably say the only other one is, you know, with his brother at the Ravens.
Yep.
And you know, when a team picks a old lineman first overall, in their first round pick, you know, it just says a lot. So, you know, it really set the tone for the whole entire draft class, I would say.
What a nice draft class for the Chargers, though, and some people that we're familiar with, some folks, other folks with ties to Georgia. You guys are going to have a little bit of a Georgia club out there with this draft class, right?
Oh, yeah. I haven't looked too much into, you know, everyone else, seeing where they're from, but yeah.
Yep. Well, you got Ladd McConkey from Georgia,
yep.
who's also drafted,
yep.
and I think we got another player, Justin Aboki. I think he's from down in Forest Park. So you got a number of guys. But I'm talking about the guy that was drafted after you. I mean, he's got a pretty famous dad, in Brendan Rice. So you're gonna get. I don't know if you ever met Jerry Rice before, but you're gonna definitely get a chance to. They beat him because I'm sure he's going to be at camp and some things with his son being drafted by the team.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually, the first time I saw him was at the Senior Bowl because me and him were both on the same team. So he was at the practice. And I remember I was stretching, like just on the ground stretching. And then I just seen like his head show up. I was like, wait a minute, this is Jerry Rice. So, you know, that was pretty cool, you know, being able to see him and talk to him. But yeah, I'm happy he's my teammate now.
Okay, Kamani, now we've talked about a couple important things. Here's the real important thing. We know that you guys are coming here to play the Falcons next year.
Yeah, no, who, this fall.
Who in the family has been assigned to answer those calls for people trying to get to you to get tickets to the game? Who's that person?
I'll probably... Either my mom or my sister, one of those two. Because
you know that
me, I can tell you that.
He's already let it be known. Don't call me. Listen, I'm just part of the team right now, and mama or my sister will handle it. Because you know that's going to be a thing. You're going to have friends coming out of the woodwork.
I already know.
Oh man,
I get an idea of how special that game was for you because the last time you got to play here in town, you played over at Georgia State. And I remember how you had a phenomenal game that day, but talk about the opportunity you will have to come back and play at home as a professional now. That has to be so special.
Oh yeah, no, that was great. You know, being able to play here again, and you know, playing in that stadium too was special, just because. You know, that was technically my second to last high school game. I call it my last real high school game. But yeah, it was just very special.
Yep, you come back there, you won the state championship there. And then there's this statue out in front of that stadium of someone that everyone knows and people may or not know, your great uncle. That even made things.
You're bearing the lead there, man.
Okay.
Which
had been a picture posted on social media that Henry Aaron is your great uncle, and playing in that stadium with his statue out front. I thought, my goodness, that's talk about full circle. So that'd be something very proud, and really your family really proud of you continuing that heritage.
Oh yeah, yep. I can also, but I was still getting advice from him back when I was in high school and still a little bit in college too. It was just so much about adversity and, you know, fighting through that. And I feel like I picked up a lot from him.
We don't know the actual date of when the Chargers are going to be here playing the Falcons,
no,
right?
That we'll find out in a few weeks.
But if it is during the end of the regular baseball season, attention Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
You need to have this dude out there throwing out the first pitch.
Well, they ain't going to have time for that.
Well, if he gets here on a Friday.
If he gets here on a Friday,
he can throw it out.
I don't know if those teams do that, but he going to be here on a business trip.
He could be here on a business trip. Atlanta Falcons, reach out to this dude. And if it's a bye week, call this man and have him come back home and throw out the first pitch. And then you can give them tickets to the friends of yours for that. For the other thing.
Come on, while we got you here, talk about the Sun Belt Conference and the fact that this was a good draft for the Sun Belt. And a lot of people feel like you guys are the ones that always spoil the fun for the big time programs. And you do. Sun Belt enjoys that. Right. Sun Belt enjoys that reputation. But you saw a lot of the players from the Sun Belt get drafted this time around.
Yeah. I mean, the Sun Belt is one of the most competitive conferences there is. You know, from top to bottom, you can always lose to a team. And that's just how it is. There's no, like, I guess, real huge, like, sleepers. Like, if you go into a game, like, you just know you're going to win. You know, I wouldn't say that about any team. And then I'll also say, like, in terms of the players, there's no, like, I guess, quote-unquote big name. But It's just, you know, just stacked from top to bottom of guys that really love football and are really competitive. Yeah.
And guys that go there and really work hard, and I think that's probably something that made you stand out to Coach Harbaugh. What are he and the coaches saying they want you to really work on as you head out there? What do you want to feel like you need to work on? I mean, you've been working hard since your last college game. You played Senior Bowl, combine, workouts. What are some things that you want to really sharpen now as you get ready to head and get things started?
I mean, first and foremost is obviously the playbook. I really want to, you know, get that down. Because if you don't know what to do, what good is – you could be the best player in the world, and if you don't know what to do, you're pretty much useless. And then also just kind of like just really keying in on my body in terms of just resiliency, just kind of – just especially with a longer season. My body's never gone through, you know, an NFL season. So really just kind of keying in on that and you know, clearing things up in the playbook, that's really what I'm keying on.
Yeah.
I got two things. When he was just talking there a minute ago, and I just wondered this, and I wondered because we asked this about a lot of young kids. Have you seen the movie Brian Song?
No, I haven't.
I guarantee you if you watch that or when you watch that and you tell your elders, your father, parents, whatever, uncles, and Jim Harbaugh that you watch that movie, they will be very impressed. Anyway, it is what it is, and it's a story about the two running backs from the Chicago Bears and Brian Piccolo. But what I was going to ask you is, because you were talking about Troy, you have now made it. You're in the NFL. But we haven't talked about or you saying, what is it that you're going to take from your college career, whether it's a person or something that happened there that you feel propelled you and made you feel like, I know I can play at the next level?
I would say being coming off of, you know, back-to-back conference champs, you know, that's not done by accident. You have to really work, you know, especially coming off that first one. You know, you have a target on your back. You know, everyone's coming at you. And then to be able to do it again, that's just, you know, that's just all about consistency and just coming to work every day and just, you know, putting your head down and going to work.
Yep. And before we let you go, some thoughts about your time at Marietta. You have some other high school teammates who have gone into the National Football League. You talk with them leading up to this draft?
Oh, yeah, I did. I was trying to, like, you know, kind of get a little bit of advice, you know, just because it's literally the longest interview process there is. It's from August till now, you know, it's long, it's grueling, you know, you have ups and downs, but, you know, you just got to roll with the punches and, you know, keep going.
Yep. And Dr. Ojulari brothers, area, they're both in the league. And I'm sure there's some people that you've been able to talk to. A little bit of a Marietta club now we're going to have in the NFL. How about that?
Well, oh, yeah.
As long as he's got somebody sending him stuff, because he's going to be out there in L.A., no Waffle House, no Krispy Kreme.
Hey, man.
But none with the donuts.
You're going to have Fat Burger. You're going to have In-N-Out Burger.
Fat Burger's not compared. In-N-Out's overrated. Don't get me started.
We've got a Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Well, okay, I'll give you that. Yep. But all the mother was, man. So he's got somebody shipping him food from the South here. He knows how to get it. We got to thank this guy and just wish him nothing but success on the next level. Kamani, just go make a name for yourself, and we'll be talking about you proudly here in Atlanta.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. That's my plan.
All right, congratulations.
Stay healthy, and if you don't mind, I'll take it just in your honor. I'll take a toilet paper roll and throw it up over the trees, and keep driving. Yeah, we're good, man. Thanks for getting up and joining us this morning.
All right, congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Man,
fantastic.
Don't say nothing. Kamani Vidal.
That's him.
That's how you say his name.
That's him.
Y'all should have heard me getting fussed at earlier, man. Oh, old man. And by the way, the most important part about that whole discussion we had with him that'll stay with me. I didn't know there were rules to the toilet paper in the trees. he says we got some rules here.
I just
went down to
Dollar General and bought all you can buy and just screwed up.
Well, they ended up doing that, but actually somebody at some point came up with rules.
There are rules to throwing toilet paper in folks' trees.
All right, well, we're going to talk Braves. We're going to talk Falcons draft and see what he knows about toilet paper. Up next, Joe Patrick, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg.
Coming to the plate, number 10, third base, Kipper Jones.
I thought you were going to flip that and just introduce our guest, which would have
been
cool.
No, man, that's the Chipper music.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying we could have flipped it, and I wonder if he played what was his number. And if it were number 10, that would be scary. Wouldn't it, though? Been a minute since we talked to Joe, man.
I know, man.
Hey, where you been?
What's good, guys?
You've been doing stuff behind our back. We've been hearing you host other shows around here and produce other shows.
Trying to put me to work.
He's all over the place. How did you survive the last 3 days and nights?
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, some long nights, of course. Probably felt longer for Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris up there. I mean, you know, because they're doing the hard work. We're basically, you know, mainly just watching TV as well as doing a little bit of talking and writing. But, yeah, man, it's been an exciting 3 days for the Falcons up there at Flyer Branch. It's funny, you talk about the late nights. On Thursday night when they were doing the press conference, which was, I think, a tough press conference, talking about all the Michael Penix stuff, you could kind of see whoever wasn't talking between the two of them was kind of just that late night stare that you do when you're just kind of running out of juice. And Raheem, as soon as the press conference wrapped up, Raheem Morris, obviously coming from L.A., he's like, you know, these East Coast draft nights ain't no joke, man. he was ready to hit it and get back to work on Friday.
Joe, what was the look? What was the expression? What were the sounds that were made when you heard that first name called? And
yeah, that guy's,
yeah, go ahead.
I mean, that it was truly shocking. You know, I actually wasn't inside the media room. I was actually doing some work with some other media. So I was standing just outside. And because of that, I wasn't able to see any of the tweets that were coming through that were apparently leaking the pick that, you know, was a few minutes before it actually happened. So I'm kind of outside working, talking into a TV camera, and I just see his name flash up, his face, obviously, and I was stunned. You know, it was almost hard to continue speaking because your mind starts racing so much, trying to comprehend what happened. And I think all of us were pretty dumbfounded for a while until at least we got to talk to Terry and Raheem and kind of hear some more of the reasoning as to why they went ahead and made the pick. And, you know, it's still shocking to be honest, but, you know, I'll give those guys this, and in particular Terry, which is that, you know, this is a decision that could cost him his job if things go south for this team and they, you know, aren't competitive again or as competitive as Arthur Blank wants them to be this year. And it's a decision that could cost him his job. That's a decision really made for the long term health of the Falcons going forward. And so you have to respect, I think, at least the conviction to be able to pull off what is almost a selfless move in that respect. When you think about the fact that the purported benefits of such a move, he might not even be around for. Now, I definitely hope I'm wrong. And I hope that he is around and Michael Penix comes and there is a smooth transition in the quarterback years to come, but you're just not going to see that pay off for, you know, there could potentially be a couple presidents that we see before before Michael Penix's real value truly pays off and the cost that it took for the Falcons to grab him.
Wow, folks. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline. Hey, we haven't had him in a while. Great to have him on. It's Joe Patrick. And he is social. You can find him at J.A. Patrick 200 at J.A. Patrick 200. All right, the rest of the draft seemed to have been really focused on defense, which is what we expected in a first-round pick. Do you feel like this team, made some moves that really fulfilled things? And why so much defensive interior? What are these guys trying to tell us?
Well, the way I kind of, if I could draw like a thread through the entire, like that kind of connects a lot of the picks, all the premium picks the Falcons had in this draft from the first round through the, let's say like third, early fourth round, it's that they are trying to prepare for the future and kind of build out a long-term runway for this team to kind of transition from one era of Falcons football to the other. Now, we're kind of entering a new era as it is because we have, Kirk Cousins coming into town, and he's obviously going to, I'm sure the Falcons hope, take them to new heights. But on the defensive side of the ball, you've got some older players, I almost hate talking about it with Grady Jarrett because he's such a special person and such a professional and a leader of this defense and this team and so well liked in the community. But I think that it does speak to not necessarily them moving on from Grady now, obviously, but I do think that it is them, making sure that they're covered for when the time comes that, Grady's no longer a Falcon. And we'll see when that is. He's coming off an ACL tear, which is obviously a very serious injury when the end of his season last year. And he and David Onyemata both on that interior are, on the wrong side of 30 now. And so you have, it's just the laws of nature, right, is that time is going to come for all. And you have to be prepared. So the Falcons really did that in this draft, and they did it in a specific way. That's a player type that they clearly, Terry talked about it yesterday, and Raheem as well, a player type that they were clearly going after, which is these kind of longer interior players. Because, it's interesting, Raheem said that he did a study with current Jets defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, but Ulbrich was the linebackers coach here in Atlanta when Raheem Morris was the defensive coordinator and then the interim head coach. And they said that they found basically that these longer players, the guys with the longer arms, these longer frames, even on the interior, that frame helps them actually shed blocks, get off of blocks. And that's just something that's kind of a correlation going back to players for a long time. And so despite the fact that they didn't, there was some controversy because there were some maybe higher rated players on the consensus boards that they didn't ultimately get. I'm talking specifically when they went with the Ruka Roro guy. But they like Roro's frame and the fact that he's going to be able to develop his pass rush moves and, become a guy, but they're not going to kind of depend on him to step in right away to be a starter, just the same way with Michael Penix. So I think a lot of these draft picks that you saw them take on the defensive side of the ball in this draft are kind of, they have long-term hopes for, but also they're going to be able to step in the rotation right away and make an impact.
All right, Joe Patrick joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You weren't listening earlier, but Sam decided we're going to make you pay for not being on with us for so long. So take that hat off and put your baseball hat on right now. We're going to talk about this Braves team and where they are right now.
We got a World Series preview in town.
Yeah, man. So
ain't nobody talking about it.
I was thinking about this, guys. I figured we'd talk some baseball this morning, as we tend to do. And I was thinking about the Strider, the Strider injury, and how there was a lot of panic about that at the time. And did the Braves need to go out and get a starting pitcher? Ultimately, I think they do. But the reason I was thinking about it is just because if you didn't know that happened. And you just kind of, if you're checking on the Braves for the first time this season, you just see the record and the stats. It's like, okay, yeah, like this is exactly what I expected, which is just kind of this unstoppable force of a team. Now, I'm not saying the loss of Strider isn't going to affect them at all. In fact, I do think it's going to have a massive impact on how their season ends, which is in the playoffs, but that's the point, is that this team, even with Strider going down, it was never going to impact this team's, hopes or ability to make the playoffs and win this division again, I think. But once you get there, then you're going to really kind of feel that loss. And we'll see how the Braves get on. I'm sure that they will try to bolster that rotation as much as possible. Alex Anthopoulos has just kind of been a master at preparing his teams for the playoffs during that trade deadline window. Maybe actually it's not even so much rotation arms as it is, just beefing up that bullpen as much as possible, because that's what led them to that World Series title in 2021. It was, they were, they were light on starters that year as well, but it was, you know, just these dominant bullpen arms that they really leaned into during the postseason, that postseason run that really carried them. And they got some guys who caught fire. And so we'll hope to see that happen again. And we know that this team's ambitions, I mean, just because they lost a player isn't going to change this kind of world championship or die attitude that they came into the season with. So it's been great to see. And then also, obviously, the other huge story about this team is Marcell Ozuna so far this year. And it's, you know, obviously he's been through a lot, and, you know, some of it his fault, some of it, you know, not maybe, I don't know, but like, he's obviously, you know, had a quite a roller coaster tenure here in Atlanta. And it's just really great to see him kind of, you know, overcome all this stuff, you know, again, whether it's his fault or not, and have a season like this. And who knows, maybe his Brave tenure goes even longer than his current contract, where it's kind of funny because especially a couple of years ago when some of the domestic stuff came down, which, you know, I think he's now I think the Chargers got dropped or whatever it was, but good to see him overcome that. And maybe his contract even goes longer, because I know at the time there's some people who just wanted that contract to end immediately. And now I think it'll be hard for the Braves to justify letting him go, because he's such an important player for this team right now.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Joe Patrick Podcast. Which
I know that's right.
Sorry, guys. I mean, I intend to ramble.
We love you, boo. And if I needed a cup of coffee, that would have been a perfect time to go grab one. Because now it's actually perfect, because we can now switch hats again. What was the third thing we wanted to talk to him about? Because
no,
it was football.
No boom yakamaka.
Thank you.
Yes. How do we not score on these guys last night?
He's earning his money.
We ran him out of the bins a month ago, yep. And what is happening with this crew right now?
Yeah, that was depressing. I mean, like, you know, it's one thing to not get the result you want, and that's not the result they wanted. I mean, you typically say when you go on the road, you know, you're happy with a draw. But this team has dropped points to the point where, like, when you have a team, when you're playing a team where you feel like you're better than, you proved that earlier this season, you should still beat them on the road. It's not enough to settle for a point. Ultimately, at the end of the year, you want to kind of average having earned about a point per road game, and then you're doing a good job. But on an individual basis, just game by game, like, you want to win these games, especially when you feel like you should. And not only to not win that game, but for it to just kind of be as dreary and lifeless as it was. Like, there, you know, obviously no goals scored between the two teams, which is a credit to, you know, Atlanta United defensively, especially considering the fact that they were starting a 20-year-old making his MLS debut last night, who's come through their academy, and they're really shorthanded there. That's the reason why he was starting. It's good that they kept the clean sheet, but, you know, you've got some of the, you know, most kind of spectacular attacking players, supposedly, in MLS, with guys like Thiago Almada, Yorgos Yakimakis, and they just weren't able to, you know, generate those attacking opportunities. And it's not just down to them. Like, I do think that the fact that they did have, you know, these really adept center backs playing last night, I think that actually does affect the offensive flow. I thought that the buildup wasn't just as quick and urgent as I think it could have and should have been if you had your starters in there to then generate opportunities for the attacking players. But, you know, they've got to turn things around, and this is a really important year for Gonzalo Pineda as the head coach of this team. You know, this is the last year of his deal guaranteed. There's option years coming up, but Atlanta United could part with him after this season if they want to, and this is a year where they certainly expect to be getting results. And not to say that, you know, it's all over for them and Gonzalo Pineda at this point, but, you know, at some point you got to start picking up points and winning some of these games that fans expect you to. And, you know, the thing for Atlanta United is they've kind of been in a rebuilding phase for the previous two or three seasons. It's kind of felt like a team in flux a bit, really, ever since the Frank DeBoer era ended. And the results matter this year. You know, there's not excuses of, oh, well, we have this bloated roster. The GM made bad signings. We're trying to work through some things. No, like, this is a really quality team with good players, and they've been beset by injuries a little bit so far to start the season, but still, you would, even despite some of those injuries, they're better than some of these teams that they've been dropping points to, or at least been in position to take points from these teams and that they've given away here in recent weeks. So it just continues a string of disappointing performances for the team. And, you know, the good news is that they've got a couple home games now coming up again. They're on a kind of a stretch of, I think, like five home games and six. And so they've got to take advantage of them, and hopefully they get some of these players back. I know Steon Gregerson, one of those center backs, your top center back, should be available here soon. I think he'll be available in the next game that's played, but they've really got to start picking up the points here, guys.
Wow, that was thorough. And it was great. It really was. We haven't had him on for a minute. He went through this whole segment like he was auditioning for SportsCenter. And he probably would have got the job.
He knocked it out of the park.
This is one after that. I got time for your park, questions. Man. Forget about it. We were gonna bring you in on something we talked about earlier, this and that. But listen, just absorbing the information, Joe. That was wonderful.
And just think, man, this guy's been pulling late nights.
Yeah, yeah.
The Flowery Branch.
That's why I'm going on and on because I'm just out of my gourd right now.
I'm just out of my mind.
You're absolutely right, because yesterday's show I was on fumes. I had stayed up 24 hours because I had to work on Tyler Perry the night before, and we didn't get home. We didn't get released till like 4:30 in the morning. I just stayed up, and so yesterday's show is one of those I had to go back and listen to. I don't know what came out of my mouth. Hopefully, Noel hit the dump button a few times. But listen, don't be a stranger, my man, Joe. As always, we love having you on here. Whether it's Atlanta United, whether it's the Braves, whether it's something having to do with any of the teams here in town. We get them talking about the Vibe, right? He probably got an opinion about them soon.
They're playing at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I always love just chopping it up with you and you guys letting me go off.
There you go.
I really appreciate it.
Great stuff, man, as always.
Joe Patrick, and enjoy the rest of your day, buddy. We are going to wrap things up, turn things over to John Fricke coming up top of the hour. It is Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. I will say this. If I think about it, I'll probably change my answer, but I would say that if I had to pick the music career of somebody from the 80s,
mm-hmm.
you take Michael and Prince and put them to the side. You put Springsteen to the side, and I still say that this dude comes in maybe number five. Maybe Madonna goes in there. Of the musical artists of the 80s who got it done.
You don't put Sting?
No, not because Sting wasn't about commercial success.
I liked him.
Oh, I love him. I love him. But Sting wasn't trying to. He wasn't trying to increase his bank account. First and foremost, he was trying to put out good music. That's why he left the Police.
Yeah,
and he was, you know. And you remember those first few Sting albums were more critically acclaimed than they were commercially acclaimed.
Oh yeah.
So that's why I don't throw him into the category. But Phil Collins, he left Genesis and had this solo career. He was, you know. He was
everywhere.
He was everywhere. Miami Vice, you see him here. But I'm just saying, of the people who had a musical impact during that time, he was, I don't know, maybe not top five, but top 10.
I'd say top five, probably.
I think the only woman, is there another woman in that list? Madonna?
Madonna.
Put her there.
That's about it, unless you put Janet.
Hers was more later, though. I think. Because she was still on the Cosby Show in the mid-80s and early 80s. She was doing a little act. What? She left Good Times. Then she went.
That was early 80s.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that was done.
But I mean, she started acting, but I think it was 86, 87 is when Control came out. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure Noel will tell us.
86,
yeah.
Okay.
So Madonna had that early, you know. But anyway, we were having some fun during the break and talking about it was some kind of stupid crime we were watching on TV. Somebody was running from the cops on like an ATV.
Yeah.
It was like, what kind of knucklehead was that? And then I said, that's like somebody picking somebody's pocket on an airplane and making a run for it. So then we started thinking about things that, you know, movies that are kind of like that. And I thought of two.
Okay.
Where there was a crime committed on an airplane and people tried to get away. And you know one of them, Passenger 57, Wesley.
Okay, yeah.
But the other one was... I think it was Flight Plan, Jodie Foster, her and her daughter. And you know, she always had really smart movies. It was like, you didn't think, like Panic Room. That was another one, man. Yeah. Running from Forrest Whitaker, that whole movie. But that was just, you know, another one. Listen, we got to revisit something that we talked about earlier in the show. I've given you guys time to think about it. Hey. You promised me. Today, we got the news that Dusty Baker, he has been given the fourth Lifetime Achievement Award by Baseball Digest. The other three, Willie Mays was the first, Vin Scully was the second, Joe Torre was the third, now Dusty. Who would be, if you had to pick, next on this list? Lifetime achievement, contributor, and as you can see, it's not all just players. And I said earlier, you could make a case for somebody like Ted Turner. I'm not saying he's going to be it, but you could make a case for him as a contributor. I'm just hoping it's not somebody like Bob Costas. I'm hoping it's not somebody
somebody like
Bud Selig could be there.
Peter Gammons.
You know what? I'm serious when I ask this question. I didn't know that he's still with us. Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But here's one that kind of sneaks in a side door.
Mm-hmm.
Theo Epstein.
Okay. I can
now
see that.
He is, I don't know what his actual title is, but he's kind of pretty much running the everyday operations of Major League Baseball. Somewhere, in, kind of what Joe Torre used to do, mm-hmm. but different, and he's got more of a bigger scope. But, of course, when you turn around the two teams with the longest losing streaks,
yeah.
first the Red Sox and then the Cubs, and then people are running there. This ain't no Billy Ball, you know, like they were trying to mimic in Oakland.
Yep.
People are trying to do things the way Theo Epstein did it.
That's true.
I'm just saying. Who is your next recipient of this award? That's what we throw it out there. So we were talking about that earlier. Listen, of the stuff that we've talked about this morning and the people we've had on, what has stuck with you as we get ready for today's matchups, NBA? You talked about the vibe playing, Braves going at it.
Yep.
But we talked to a lot. We had some interesting people on this show, and they said a lot of interesting things.
I enjoyed our conversation with Adam Alexander.
That's one I was going to bring up,
the magnitude of what happened last week with NASCAR and how, you know, people are still talking about it. That's going to be part of
today.
The pre-race show today.
Yeah.
Just talking about the vision of Michael Jordan winning. And, you know, that obviously because the racing teams are doing well, I think Tyler Reddick will start fifth. He had fifth in qualifying for today's race up at Dover. But just the thoughts about that continuing to be something that the people had a chance to see and are still talking about.
D-Led's perspective on not just the Falcons pick, but the draft overall.
Yeah.
And where teams were, that was one of the things that stayed with me. Terrell and well, obviously his Philly love, but just what's going on with these playoffs and how youth is being served.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the guys who picked Minnesota early in the season. After getting a good look at him, got a good sample size. I wouldn't say early in the season, but throughout the season. I'm not sure exactly when. Maybe after the All-Star break, he started hanging his hat on what Minnesota could do. And the fact that tonight, this young team could shut down Kevin Durant,
yep.
Bradley Beal,
yep.
and what is considered, you know, Devin Booker, the best two-guard in the league.
But then you have an Indiana team that's on the verge of really going up 3-1 on a Milwaukee team.
But they got one.
Yep.
It's the sweeping of Phoenix.
Yep.
This super team, when these guys came together, they were the super team that everybody else was supposed to look out for.
Did you think so?
No, that's what was being reported.
I didn't think
because you had these talents.
I think you had to have three superstars to win. I thought Durant was going somewhere because the super team up in Brooklyn fell apart, right?
That's exactly right. I just feel like Minnesota.
And he had to find somewhere to go.
Get the land.
That's what I think happened with that.
But anyway, again, just a lot of really good conversations.
I'll tell you something else. We got a monitor here. It's got like at the Sunday morning version of Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their first stories was the Guardian Caps.
Yes.
Orlando Ledbetter, we asked him about that. And that was something, like I said, while all the commotion and all the excitement of the draft has been going on the last 3 days quietly on Friday. You know, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell talked about the Guardian Caps going to be permitted to be on helmets and watch for them this season for certain positions, and teams will have the option to do it. We watched the spring football game with Colorado yesterday, and Coach Prime's teams, both sides of the ball, were wearing the Guardian Caps for protection. And it's something that we've seen in practice. And like I said, as the NFL goes, so goes the game of football. If it becomes a deal at that level, it will become a deal at the collegiate level and down to the high school level. But just like we said about things like shot clocks and replay, how do you make it affordable? Because that's going to be the other thing if that's going to be implemented as something for the sport of football going forward.
All right.
So I think it's an important thing. It's going to be a different look, I think, as we watch the teams that they get ready to hit the rookie camps. OTAs, mini camps is going to be something we'll become more familiar with and seeing. And, you know, and D-Led says something that we whisper and don't like to say, but says, hey, you know, youth participation.
Yep.
Youth participation across the board. We don't think like it's a problem here. Our young folk love playing because our area gets so heavily recruited. And it ends up on a weekend like this. We hear young people like we talked to today. We're getting a chance to play the game at the highest level. But the idea is to keep that pipeline going and to keep young people involved.
And hopefully those young people won't be throwing toilet paper in trees outside their high school.
Shout out Kamani, by the way.
Yeah, man, and he admitted it. Like, you hear the pause first?
Yeah, he actually thought about admitted it. He has statute of limitations.
That's exactly right. He said, they can't come after me now, right?
They're not going to mess with me now.
You brought up his name, and if folks didn't hear, I guess at least this was in his latest interview, but Deion, listen, he got some work to do out there in Colorado.
Yeah.
And he has said, he reiterated his commitment to the Buffaloes program, said, and he has not following his sons, or at least attempting to follow his sons, to the NFL.
I don't think he'll do that. You know, I don't think he'll do that, but I don't know how long he'll stay at Colorado either. I think the daughter just transferred away from the basketball team. I mean, she had left Jackson State to come out there. So we'll see. We'll see. Spring game was yesterday. It was cold, rainy, snowy. Wasn't a big sellout.
As the show winds down, it's time for us to cover some of the things we haven't yet, as we flush out some of the small stories we may have missed with Sam and Greg.
She's the hit that, but she caught you in the middle of a thought, so finish it. Go ahead. No, that's fine.
I was just saying that yesterday the weather was a little different, so the crowd wasn't all packed out like last year for the anticipation of it. So we'll see how things go out there in Colorado this season.
All right. Yeah, I got to dump all this stuff that we got. A lot of stuff happened on this day. I told you about this. Maryland became the 7th state. I didn't know that. Today was the day.
Today was the day.
Maryland, they became the 7th state. Ratified the Constitution. Okay. We're proud of y'all.
Yeah.
Did you know where Georgia landed, though? Was the which number they became a state?
And which number?
I saw that. 4.
4?
Yeah.
4? Really?
That's what I saw.
I remember that.
Yeah.
4. And people right now screaming, didn't you take that in Georgia's? No, I moved to Georgia in the 10th grade. So I took Alabama history before I moved to Georgia.
Hmm.
So I didn't take Georgia history in school. So I know somebody out there listening is saying, well, didn't you take Georgia history in the 9th grade?
No,
I did not.
I was
not living here yet.
I had forgotten that this was an actual event. I just thought of the movie, thinking that was where they just made the movie, Mutiny on the Bounty. But no, it actually happened on this day. The HMS.
HMS.
Bounty.
Mm-hmm.
There was a problem that day.
Yeah, there was.
And the captain, who was Captain William Bly, had a problem with Mr. Christian.
And
it took place on this day.
Yeah.
But Billy the Kid also escaped on this day. That was a big deal and got shot at, and they didn't catch him. All right, birthdays. I just threw that in there. I don't know why. But we talked about this earlier, but for those of you who just joined us not long ago, today was the day that Muhammad Ali refused induction into the Army. And we spent a good segment talking about the ramifications of that and the not just the fallout, but what it made him in the years to come after that.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday is going out today. And you don't know nothing about this dude, but I live not far from where he was when he passed. Tony Accardo. When you speak of Al Capone in Chicago, mm-hmm. his Scottie Pippen was Tony Accardo.
Okay.
He was known as Big Tuna. He was the guy who allegedly, because you know the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, so famously connected with Al Capone, but he was in Fort Lauderdale when it happened. His Scottie Pippen was allegedly behind it, but he also ran what was known as the Chicago Outfit.
Outfit?
It was known as the Outfit. It was the Syndicate, it was the Outfit, it was, you know, they had all these little different names, but that was Tony Carter. Would have been his birthday today. Oscar Schindler.
Ah.
As in Schindler's List. Would have been his birthday today. Lamborghini. I can't pronounce his really big first Italian name, but it would have been his birthday today. Harper Lee. Did you have to read it To Kill a Mockingbird in school? Or did you see the movie with Gregory Peck?
Both.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I had to read the book.
Madge Sinclair. If you don't know that actress's name, she played Eddie Murphy's mother in Coming to America.
Yep.
But big time actress.
Early on.
Exactly. Anne Margaret.
Okay.
And if you're a Flintstones fan, Anne Margrock. And happy 60th birthday to Barry Larkin.
Oh, man. Wow.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Got that one ring in 1990, was it? Listen, one of the great feats of Major League Baseball back then, because they did it against the team that they were the Yankees of the late 80s going into the 90s. That Oakland team with McGuire and Canseco, what's Eckersley on the mound there, and these Reds just tripped into the playoffs and then swept them. So anyway, there you go. Mr. Crenshaw,
yeah,
have a wonderful rest of the day. But before we do that, Noel, who is gone.
She's moving around.
taking care of something. We got to thank you.
Thank you.
And people in my house love you. They won't tell you. They heard you singing yesterday. They say, oh, we love Noel. So
thank you.
Mr. Crenshaw, like I said, have a wonderful rest of your day.
I'm headed over to Panthersville, Georgia State against App State Baseball, 1 o'clock. I'm on ESPN+.
There you go. Have a wonderful rest of your day for the rest of you. And thank you again for letting Sam and I be a part of your weekend mornings. This is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.